ಪೀಡನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ವರದ ಪೀಡನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ವರದ
one mantra and chant some rounds by neglecting the ego, not letting it interfere. I found that once I finished chanting, my ego came out in a very large way. I felt like I wanted to put a whole barrier up against me. I felt like it wanted to put up a whole barrier against me and the rest of the world. Is this common? And is there anything that can be done to help?
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine. This is what can help. Once in Regent's Park, Prabhupada went with Ramakrishna Maharaj and he took his cane at times and broke the frozen puddles of water. He did this systematically again and again until Ramakrishna Maharaj asked him what he was doing. And Prabhupada said, I was breaking the ice. That is my duty. Originally we love Krishna, but then we become covered by the false ego, and the spiritual master has to break it. Hare Krishna. When you are engaged in the service of, to a great soul, you will definitely come to that limit, that ego. And if you hold fast to his lotus feet and you remain surrendered, something will happen with the ego. It will be treated. Now, I have started with the solution because we usually start with with the prayers to our spiritual master before we speak. But I wanted to say something brief more.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have a real problem in relationship to Krishna. It's a broken relationship. And it's our fault. It's 100% our fault. It's not Krishna's fault. Now, when we engage in something as chanting his names, which is so absolutely relationship-oriented, which is so absolutely close to Krishna, then that problem will come out again. The ego will come out. It may be the first time in your life where you see what it means to have a false ego. Because the false ego manifests when we become Bahiyamukha, stop to be Antarmukha, when we turn our back to Krishna and turn towards the material energy, then we get this subtle body which is pervaded by this false ego. And when we now turn to Krishna, it will be so difficult for some time. You must know that this innocent Japa retreat was really a hospital in which we brought you. I didn't want to tell you this in the front. I remained highly skeptical whether to do this, but by the kind insistence of Bhurijan Prabhu and Braj Bihari, I did it. I said to them, you will see, the devotees will walk on their gums. They will walk on their knees. They will crouch on their bellies because the ego and the mind will just protest against it. I don't know if they will like your Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education any longer after this. But we did it. And I want to congratulate you. You have done a very serious work now. You have made inroads. You have started to correct your broken relationship. You have started actually to correct a mistake which is millions and trillions and billions of years old. And you will be able to proceed from the point which you have reached and go further inroads, further into this is different than the normal entertainment, spiritual entertainment which ISKCON supplies for the unsurrendered membership. This is a totally existential work. We didn't want to tell you this in the beginning. But I want to also give you a great hope. You have struggled with your ego. Congratulations. You have done the one mantra method. Congratulations. Krishna has seen you. Radha has seen you. And they feel so pleased that you have done, either willingly or by the force of the Japa retreat, your first steps towards them. As Bhurijan Prabhu read to us yesterday, Krishna and Radharani were there and they are so pleased. You will see in the days to come how much you are benefited. At this moment, you might feel like a patient who is just about to be released from hospital after a surgical operation. Congratulations! It's done! You have kept with the practice and you have highly impressed the Supreme Lord and His most merciful consort. See, spirituality is not about you. Life is not about you and your ego. The reality is not about the thoughts which you have. The reality is there despite of you. Now you have been marked, you have been glanced at, you have been accepted as someone very serious. If you continue on this road, Burijan Prabhu, who is highly raised in the art of spontaneous devotional service, makes now a suggestion which I cannot take. Prabhu, if we now take one question and talk about it till the end of our days, we will talk about how to continue at the at the beginning of the Sankalpa ceremony.
Does that mean we're ready to take another question?
Yes, and we will not even waste time in any unnecessary sentence. We will give our best. Oh, Krishna, it's filling up. I knew.
With the bird catches fish technique, we pulled out a wonderful question. Wait. You can try the lion catches its prey technique.
Oh, that means I have to use my intuitions now.
You have to.
My magical powers.
No. It's the wizard casts its spell technique. Lion catches its prey. Look.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you. This is a question for Burijan Prabhu. Listen very attentively. It will be read only one time. Using the one mantra thought technique is harder than going on a japa walk. Oh, what a nice place this is. I wonder if Radharani walked here, where am I going, etc. No, using the one mantra thought technique is harder than that. Do you have any advice on how to chant when going on a japa walk?
Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dabati Sarpandam Kikam. Manasikalpa Tubhyascha Kritisundu Vayevacha Patitanam Papinetam Vasudevanamandala. It is undoubtedly difficult to control the mind. Undoubtedly. But chanting japa means to listen to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We have to accept this and not that we have to accept it in the sense that we don't have a choice, but we have to accept it in the sense that we know that we should chant offenselessly and pramada in attention to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is an offense. If we were walking with Prabhupada, who would be the center? Who would have to be the center of the walk? You look at any walk or listen to any talk with Prabhupada on a morning walk, who is the center? If one says, oh, this is such a nice place over here, a nice place over here, and one's mind is in the presence of Prabhupada, just picking up on all the sightseeing, spiritual or not, then what is the use of being with Prabhupada? So in the same way, if we wish to admire the Drishtaman or the beauties of Braja and wish to go on a parikrama, we should go on a parikrama. If we wish to take a japa walk, we should start out by understanding that we're chanting japa now and that what we should do is listen to the holy names of Krishna. So what I've seen is that unless one understands this and becomes determined and makes a very deep determination, then whether one's walking or sitting while one's chanting japa, the same thing's going to happen. We get used to taking a tour of the universe or wherever we are when we're chanting our japa. And if we want to take a tour of the universe, that's our freedom. But if we wish to chant japa and get the proper results, we should chant attentively. That is my response to that question. And it is possible to chant attentively while walking. But not if you have to walk across crowded streets where cars are running. Obviously, you have to pay attention to what's going on outside. And wherever we are, we have to pay practical attention. But the mind should be practically on the holy names when we're chanting japa. Simple.
Would you like to add anything?
Yes. Wait, wait. Use the wizard, chooses his spell technique.
I only know the technique using the antennas.
Okay. Use your antennas.
Dear Sachinanda Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Just wanted to show you one time that it really works. If you have developed antennas, you know what is relating to you. But I will only do this one time to show you, because I wanted to show you. Sometimes I do not have strength nor will to struggle against bad qualities. How to solve this problem? It's a real problem if you have no will to struggle, because the will, the desire, is the basis of any activity. If you have no will, really, then you must take the stone technique. The stone has no will, but if he is in water, he gets wet. So if you have no will to struggle for your spiritual life, then you must immerse yourself into the life-giving water of Sadhu Sangha. And then, by that association, some will or desire comes into your mind. Yesterday, I met one Saraka who only sleeps 3 hours a day and chants the rest of his day in the jungle. He's very renounced. He eats only one time. And he told me that you can only do this if you have greed to do this, an intense desire, an intense will to do it. And I asked him the question that how do you develop this will if you don't have it? And he said, well, it's simple. When you don't feel like eating, but you come into the association of people who eat a rasgulla and relish it, you also think, wow, they relish the rasgulla, let me now eat, and the will or the eagerness comes into your heart to taste. So when you have no will to struggle against bad qualities and also no strengths, use the technique where you just go into the association of those devotees who do this and who find a great taste in it, and then some of the will comes, just like the eating desire comes when you go to someone who relishes their meals. This is very important. Your mind and ego will tell you, no, the last place to go is the association of devotees. The first place to go is the cinema. But you should, if you are interested to solve the problem, go there. Just sit there. The best time is when the devotees do kirtan or do Krishna katha. Then at that time the association is most strong. Hare Krishna. Your time, yes.
I will use the wizard to cast the spell.
Let's see if you can do it.
Huh?
No, don't look, don't look.
Don't look at what?
You have to go with your mystical eye.
That's your system. I have a different system. Dear Bhrishan Prabhu. I'm only kidding.
Not there.
No. I actually went with the comedian technique, not the wizard technique. I was tricking you. While chanting Maha Mantra, a vacuum will appear in my mind, which he doesn't know what to do with. So he looks for new things. And that hampers or stops the concentration. What to do? All the negative things can be turned to positive. Even
what Maharaj was saying,
and this is our duty actually. If we don't have a taste for the holy name, if a vacuum appears in the heart, or if material things, desires appear in the heart, we have to take those to the holy names, to our deities, and take the negative and use it in the service of the positive. And just like in a magnet, how the positive pole, the more powerful the negative is, the more strong the positive attraction will be to that negative. Prabhupada said in one of the purports that we read, when he was quoting Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Sandarbha, that Krishna is attracted to the humble and meek. So we have to turn that vacuum, that material desire, that lack of taste into a prayer for help. And that's how we become Namasraya. Oh Krishna, just look at my heart. Oh holy names, look at my heart. It is empty. It is a vacuum. It is filled with material desires. I have no taste. I am dependent on you as I take shelter of you in the holy names. It is good to go to the holy names empty and beg Krishna's name to fill us. Even Prabhupada said, I have no bhakti, I have no knowledge, I have no bhakti, but yet they have designated me as Bhakti Vedanta. It is up to you, my dear Lord, to fulfill the purport of that name. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance. We go to Krishna in that mood with a full shelter, understanding that we have no capacity on our own. This is the art of spiritual life, to turn the negative, the misfortune into fortune, powerlessness into power.
By poor japa for many years, I became an external devotee, more concerned with others' opinion, etc. My eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna went in the bag. This seems to be a problem in ISKCON in general. Thank you for your precious service to give us a better chance to revive our inner spiritual life. Can you comment on this external tendency? In this world,
We are all external people because we are concerning our mind with the covering of the spirit, not the pure spirit itself. This has been going on since time immemorial, and I would like to refer you to this wonderful lecture which Burijan Prabhu gave the day before yesterday, where he compared the mind, I mean that really stuck in my mind, with a light, with a torchlight, which projects on smoke and takes the smoke for real. Oh, this is a locomotive. Let's get into the locomotive. This is a mango. Let's eat the mango. This is a ferocious tiger in full attack. The mind, in other words, since time immemorial, has been faced on the illusion of materialistic life and has taken it very, very serious. So when we start in Krishna consciousness, we usually do so, or can only do so, if we are very interested in spiritual things. Only then you can leave your career behind you, you can leave an inheritance behind you, you can leave your old friends behind you, because you understand they are not spiritual people. It will not help me in my further advancement. So at the time when you start, you really have a beginner's mind, and you are usually very, very interested in spiritual life. But then, as you proceed on the road, you become less careful because you know the road already. You have heard thousands of lectures, you have read thousands of books, you have ate huge wagon loads of prasadam, your mind now thinks, I know the road. You're no longer like on the start, you know, when you really think, oh, this and that, and wow, Bhagavatam, wow, the holy name, the Charanamrita, if I drink it, I conquer birth and death. Your mind has tricked you into thinking, yeah, I know, it doesn't work so fast also. That is also what I know. So at this time, you do need a spiritual impetus or just a very serious motive to remember the goal, to remember the satya. Satya means the goal of your spiritual practice. You require most properly what all people in all spiritual traditions do, that is a retreat or a time where you become contemplative. In our tradition, the day of Ekadasi is meant to supply this experience. On a bi-weekly basis, you are supposed to look back into your life to see, is everything going according to plan? You are requested in our tradition, Srila Prabhupada writes about this in Nectar of Devotion, to immerse your whole day into Krishna Katha and Kirtan and glorification and so on. In our tradition, in other words, there are mechanisms which protect us against mechanic superficial execution. But sometimes Ekadasi is also become listed into the mechanical thing. And at that time you need just devotees and impetuses. And that's the idea which is behind such retreats. And we are very, very, very grateful that we may be trying to offer our service. As far as my service is concerned, I'm not yet so expert as Burijan Prabhu, but I'm trying, and I believe, and I have seen that now ISKCON leadership has become very much aware. They want to go on a retreat. They asked me for giving them retreats. They asked Burijan Prabhu to give them retreats. It comes. And what we will do is, because we are a little revolutionary, both of us, we will see that this does not become another mechanical fad. Hare Krishna. So you have asked two more questions. I will not answer them at this stage. I will throw these two questions back into the basket. This was answered, this is unanswered, and I will put it a little bit on the ground that Burijan doesn't catch it in the beginning.
What is the Shastric reference for the concept of the mind being the protector of the false ego? Interesting question. What is the function of the mind? Again, sankalpa, vikalpa. That's clear, and that's Shastric. And what is the function of the material energy? That is clearly to cover our relationship with Krishna. Clearly. What is the function of the intelligence? These things are described in the third canto, in that 26th chapter. And it doesn't directly say even the plan-making point, but it directly says that the intelligence is born of the mode of passion. So practically speaking, the whole material energy is made for this one function, to keep the soul deluded into thinking of himself as anything other than a servant of Krishna. False ego means false sense of self. Real ego means our relationship with Krishna. So the mind's function, the gross matter's function, the subtle body's function, everything in the material world's function is to protect the false sense of self and delude ourselves. But the mind, because we were speaking specifically about that, the mind has a very specific sankalpa vikalpa functioning. I want, I don't want. And this is described in the, and perhaps this is the simplest Shastric reference, in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's the 26th or 27th verse, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvanva Mohena Bharata. What's the next line? Sagayante, no, that's the last line. Sava Bhutani Sammohan. That all living entities are placed in illusion. They're born into this material world specifically bewildered by Icha Dvesha. What does Icha Dvesha mean? I want, Icha desire, Dvesha, aversion. Attraction, aversion. Attraction, aversion. So this specifically is the function of the mind. I want, I don't want. This is appealing, this is unappealing. And in this way, we become, our time is filled up. It's filled up just trying to chase or follow the mind with its Icha and Dvesha. And on the other hand, looking at it from the yoga point of view, the mantra of Patanjali is, Yoga, Chitta Vritti Nirodha, speaking about the mind, is yoga. The purpose of yoga is to stop the mind from the Chitta Vritti, the different fluctuations of the mind, which are based on I want, I don't want, icha dvesha, sankalpa, vikalpa. And just by doing that, again, one settles into the mode of goodness, and just by doing that, one can actually become Brahman realized to some degree. So it stops the effect of the material energy, and what the mind wants to do is support this false sense of self as enjoyer of the material world, which is basically the definition of false ego. I'm not sure who asked the question, but if that person has any more questions about it, they can talk to me later. But that would be the simplest shastric reference. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sagayante parantipa.
Would you like to pick one, or should I pick it for you?
Okay.
That wasn't the one, was it?
Yes. What does, no, what is maturity, no, what is or does maturity in Krishna consciousness mean? This is a very good question. Just give me a second. I remember. Yes. Maturity in Krishna consciousness, I would like to give two examples from the world. When a fruit matures, the fruit becomes enjoyable for others. It becomes sweet. When a person's body matures, he develops desires which he has not developed before. For instance, when the boys up to the age of, I believe, 9 o'clock, they think girls are foolish because you can't wrestle very nicely with them. And the girls, I do not know what is their age situation, they don't like to play with young boys at all because the young boys are not really acceptable as playmates. They are not interested in the same thing. But when the bodies mature, then all of a sudden a desire appears in the young girl and in the young boy which was not there before. So maturity in Krishna consciousness means also that with your development you develop desires. Rupa Goswami says three desires appear in the mind of a devotee. That is to attain Krishna, to satisfy Krishna with his service, and to have a loving relationship with Krishna. This is what maturity in Krishna consciousness means. These things are not there in a young devotee. He doesn't want to have doesn't think so much about a relationship with Krishna. He doesn't think of pleasing Krishna and serving Krishna. No? But when you mature in Krishna consciousness, this will happen. And this happens really after a transformation. Yesterday, Jagatarini Mataji and myself ate black olives for health. Do you know that these olives have gone through a very, very interesting process? They were once green. Looking green, green is the color for immaturity. We say in German, you are green behind your ears, Prabhu. That means he's still not grown. So
these olives have been treated. First, they have been boiled in water, then they have been taken out of the water, they have been thrown into a salt solution, so that they absorb salt, and then they have been poured over with cold water. Hare Krishna. And then there are olives which are good for health, even for diarrhea stomachs. So maturity in Krishna consciousness will also happen after you have gone through an experience of dedicated service, for instance. Maturity in Krishna consciousness will happen if you have purified your mind. Maturity in Krishna consciousness can also happen if you have gone through an experience in Vilaska, where you found out, actually, I'm not so interested in Krishna as I am interested in the world. This grieving which you feel at that time, this pain which you feel in the heart, is all extremely necessary for you to mature in your Krishna consciousness. It does not work without this. We as ordinary conditioned souls are not yet filled with rag or with ruchi, with deep taste. We are ajata ruchi. Our taste is not yet born. So to get taste and turn in the mood of helpless surrender to Krishna, I see no other chance than now turning to you. That it means we have matured in Krishna consciousness. And before that happens, maybe first we have to realize that on our own we are powerless. Most of us have to realize before they mature, on our own, I'm blind, I'm lame, I'm ill-advised, I'm full of falsity, of ego. And when we realize that, Prabhus and Madhajis, when you realize it, I agree it's painful for the first moments. But afterwards you can start your spiritual life in earnestness. You have done so much in your maturity, and I'm extremely proud of you, because each one of you, even I have not seen one person who gave up the process during the japa retreat and went home to comfortable and distractive Vrindavan, Mandir, where you could distract yourself if you want. If you don't want, it's a wonderful place also. So maturity means in Krishna consciousness that these desires related to Krishna appear, and that you become a sweet devotee who's enjoyable for Radha and Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. Such sincere questions, such mature questions you ask, isn't it, Guru Chakrabhu? What wonderful questions. Yeah.
When I visit certain holy places and temples, I feel strong emotions and start to cry and feel spiritual emotions. From where do these emotions come? I am then looking to feel the same emotions later. Is this okay? Or am I enjoying my senses?
This is deep. Also another deep question.
One of the best questions.
Yeah. One thing that I've seen, is that the first point is that this is the nature of the Dham.
This our example that the light comes through
more because the covering of the of the Dham, of Maya's covering, is far less than in the material world. If one walks down Fifth Avenue in New York, one won't feel spiritual emotions. But in the Dham, it's quite natural to do that. But, and here's where the question really becomes interesting, am I looking to feel the same emotions later? Is this okay? Or am I trying to enjoy my senses? Now, something that we really have to be careful of is becoming, I only know somewhat a slang expression for it, but peak experience junkies. That we want peak experiences and top emotion experiences all the time. And this is very, very dangerous because in spiritual life, in material life, it's dangerous too. Because, like in a marriage, when you first get married, what's the first period of a marriage called?
Honeymoon.
It's such an interesting word. Honey, sweetness poured over the romantic moon. But there is no honeymoon past the honeymoon. It means duty. Marriage means duty and respect. And when one is dutifully performing one's activities in marriage, then what comes from that is a proper and deeper type of affection. Now, in spiritual life, if we want it to be the honeymoon of peak experiences continuously, then we're going to go hopping from one guru to another, from one movement to another, from one dham to another, and nothing is enough to satisfy me, me, me. And who is in the center? It's just me, 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 and me. So this is very, very dangerous. And what we want to come out of from a truly spiritual experience, it is, I'm a servant of Krishna and I'm dependent upon Him. And by His grace, even though I don't deserve this spiritual happiness that's bubbling up within inside me now, it's the mercy of the Dham, it's the mercy of Prabhupada, it's the mercy of the Association of Devotees, it's the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. So therefore, instead of thinking, how can I get more for me, 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 and me, we have to shift that is, how can I do something in return to my spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, to the holy Dham, to the holy names. So the way that we tell whether it's sense gratification or truly spiritual is whether or not it deepens within our heart the desire for service, because this is the foundational principle of spiritual life. I am a servant of Krishna. Jivera, this is who I am. Jivera Sarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. And it is irrevocable. Unless there's only one way to revoke this. You know? Did you know that? There is a way to revoke this. If anyone really doesn't want to become a servant of Krishna and revoke their own actual identity, it is? Yes. There is a way out. Brahman. Become a ray of the sunlight of Brahman. And that will finish you. Not from the Sadaka platform, but from the Sadhya platform. I don't want anything but that. And And therefore, the Vaishnava charges say, Kaivalya Nirakayate, this is hell. This is worse than hell. Because it finishes me as a servant. But other than that, our journey, our quest in spiritual life is to become more and more and more deeply a servant. A humble, loving servant of C.C. Radha and Krishna, which includes so much else. So, and the result of that lowly position, quote, lowly position, is that the spiritual energy bestows upon that living entity more spiritual emotion and more spiritual pleasure than we can imagine from this point of view. So much so that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the fourth chapter, he says, Krishna is saying that those who think the lover and beloved enjoy equally, they do not understand my braja. That Krishna bestows so much pleasure even on a tiny, insignificant jiva who is completely surrendered to loving service and he wants nothing other than that. Krishna bestows so much pleasure that Krishna himself becomes desirous of tasting that pleasure and comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the answer is, from where this comes, it is these emotions. This is natural for the soul, but it's coming by the mercy of the Dham, of the holy names, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of the devotees of Prabhupada. It is by mercy. We are not qualified. But, and this is the gift of Mahaprabhu. He makes those unqualified. Patita pavana hetu tava avata mosama patita prabhu napai beara. Soon as I think I'm qualified for this and I want this and I, the false ego is expanding.
Because of inferior material association, some desires have been manifested in my mind which seem to be impossible, really, to be removed, and they impede my spiritual activities. What to do?
Could you read that again, please?
Yes. Because of inferior material association, some desires have been manifested in my mind which really seem impossible to be removed, and they impede my spiritual activities. What to do? Hare Krishna, this is my favorite question. I mean, I really like this question for being so absolutely blunt and so being so absolutely open with one's condition. The questioner here, or the devotee, is expressing a helpless feeling that I don't know how to get rid of my material desires. I think they are impossible, and they impede my spiritual activities. There are a few things in our tradition which you could do to become free of these very intense material desires. One is to pray to Lord Nrisimhadev a very, very nice mantra which is revealed in the fifth canto. Please note it down, fifth canto. It's the 11th chapter, as far as I remember, 8th verse. But if it's not, the verse starts with Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namo Namaste Tejas Tejase aviravibhava vrajanakka vrajadangstra kamashayan randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa om svaha abayam abayam atmani bhuyashta om shrom. This many devotees with impossible desires to sexuality, to this really intense one, sex, drugs, and everything else which follows that, have prayed this on a regular basis before Lord Nrisimhadev, and it really has helped them to overcome these impossible desires. But having said this and recommended this, I would really place the main emphasis of my answer to chanting Hare Krishna. You know, that's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his devotees in his maths that they must chant 64 rounds. He said, if you don't do that, you will develop material attachments. You stand no chance. So I believe, I don't want to advocate now that you chant every day 64 rounds. I see some of you, my God, he's now going to tell us we should chant every day 64 rounds. No, but chant, take something with you from this Japa retreat, which will improve your practice. And how to do this, you will learn in the Sankalpa ceremony. We will do something to protect your japa, something very Vedic and spiritual. This has to be done. I must relate to you something which I'm now not afraid any longer to relate, because enough years have passed since that time. On my first Kartik Vrata, that's a Vrata where I decided I would chant for 1 month every day more than 64 rounds. On that first Kartik Vrata, I lived in the Govardhan Palace. It was at that time very deserted and inhabited by monkeys, and I had to fight to get one room there with the monkeys. Asit Krishna Prabhu were there, and Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj. So we stayed together, and we all had sticks. You know, we looked like samurai fighters sometimes. I purchased a bicycle from Mathura and went every day to a place. Now, at one stage, at one time, I do remember I went to a particularly nice valley near the Govardhan Hill, and I started to chant, and this time came, which is the difficult time, you remember, around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, when your mind is not so strong any longer. And I began to see something. I will not go into details. It was the cover of Electric Ladyland. It's a long playing record by Jimi Hendrix, a musician of the hippie generation. I will only say I saw the cover in great detail with all the electric ladies not properly dressed. Then, at the same time, I heard from Yavat a Led Zeppelin concert with a golden record winner, A Whole Lot of Love, which has a bass line, which is imagined to be the musical interpretation of the act of penetration.
So that I saw, then I, oh my God, Led Zeppelin is haunting me. Then I opened my eyes, and at that moment I saw 308 monkey couples enjoying the most pornographic sexual encounters with each other, with screams and everything. And I could not step out of this embarrassing situation, because if I would have, I would have stepped on monkeys who would have bitten me with all their excitement. So I was there. I thought, do I have to be committed to an insane asylum? It's impossible that in Braj there is a rock and roll concert, because you just don't have enough watts, enough electricity to drive these loudspeakers. And I soon began to understand these were my material desires. Desires which I had cultivated before coming to Krishna consciousness. Desires which were as deep sanskaras in the heart. And I thought they were so strong, the music was so loud, and I could feel it with every cell of my body, that I personally had to give up the chanting. I couldn't hear the mantra any longer. I waited until the monkeys disappeared, as mystically as they had appeared. But they were real monkeys. They were not the monkeys of the mind. And then I went to... I could, for the first time, understand what it means to be a conditioned soul, overwhelmed by material desires. I felt very, very bad. I had tears in my eyes. And I thought, that's it. I can now leave Krishna consciousness. I'm just not eligible. I'm not qualified to follow this very high path of a renunciation of material life. I really was ready to throw my brahmachari dhoti into the thorns of the thorny bushes. I was really ready to relinquish the practice. Then Krishna must have seen my utmost... I mean, it was so strong. It was really such an experience, but which for a person like me was just in the right language. I can understand this language. I knew what it referred to. It was felt existentially. So I met, when I came out of the bushes, I met one devotee. He's now a Swami. I keep on forgetting his name. It's something with Madhava Maharaj. Yes, Vishram Madhava Maharaj. And he greeted me in his jovial way. Oh, here is the infamous Sachinandan Swami hiding. No, he said the famous Sachinandan Swami. And I said he is the infamous Sachinandan Swami. The absolute low-class monkey hiding. Oh, Maharaj, I'm just doing Govardhan. No, at the time I was a brahmachari. I'm just doing Govardhan Parikrama. Would you like to come? I said, no, I don't like to come. I have here an issue. And I have to go. The sun is setting, and please leave me alone with your blissful proposals. I need to return before the sun set. And he just said, no, just next year, Surabhi Kund, where offenses are forgiven. Would you like to go there? Really, I said, offenses are forgiven? Yes. Indra was forgiven for his offense against Lord Krishna and the Brajavasis here in this Kund. Where is it from here? I asked. Well, he said, it's hardly 2 minutes. No. That means half an hour. But I went with him, and yes, it was about half an hour from where I was. I just threw myself into the dust of Surabikon, and I just said, please, I know I'm not qualified for this request. I know I'm overwhelmed with these material desires which have just been shown with musical illustration to me, with music to me. So please, if you can forgive me that I have made this mistake to turn against you, please do so. Otherwise, I have no chance, because it's clear I'm suffering the reactions of my turning away from you, Krishna. And I was very emotionally charged, and he saw me crying, and he said, "This sentimental Sachinandan." He didn't ask why or what. And then I was still doubtful when I finally arrived at the Govardhan Palace. And I was thinking, let's see tomorrow if I can continue my chanting without hearing again this crazy sound vibration of the mind. Then I will continue with this ratha. And I can't say that I had my very good rounds on that next day, because I was so shocked, you can't believe it. I was really embarrassed, and I was really very, very shocked. It was really a shock, a terrifying experience, an anxiety experience. I thought I would get to material life. Oh, so then I continued with the retreat, with the japa, and it worked. And finally, I mean, I have never forgotten what I saw. But yes, I'm now like to chant 64 rounds. Is my that's what I like to do. I would really it's the most relaxed phase in my life. I really can forget everything. Just Hare Krishna. The life becomes simple and ecstatic. So not every day, not every day. Sometimes it's also struggling, but it's not a So Hare Krishna, I was a little long in this, but chant Hare Krishna, chant more Hare Krishna, chant this one mantra Hare Krishna, you know, this technique of Burijam Prabhu. But I went out of control here, out of time control. I'm very sorry. But I just wanted to share you, it works. If I could still be in Krishna consciousness, you are not as fallen as this person who sits here. You are all saintly people. You have not done what I have done or thought what I have thought in life. You are very special, pure souls, young, energetic, not so old and useless. You will do wonderful. But now become a little serious.
That's such a wild story.
It's very true.
I know.
Is everything, Hare Krishna, is everything the trick of the mind? In other words, even if you feel something with all your heart, and it is not purely spiritual, is it false? And if yes, so what do you do when you are sure in intellectual or logical perspective, but yet your heart or intuition does not follow you to Krishna? Does it mean it's too early to be in spiritual life, or, meaning, I assume, is there a way to continue? Let me read it again. Another very sincere question. Is everything the trick of the mind? So there's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Bandoratmatmanas yena manabmana jitaha natmanas tu shatruve varte tatvaiva shatruvat, that the mind is either friend or enemy. If it's bringing us towards Krishna, it is friend. If it is bringing us away from Krishna, it is enemy. So how do we know? And sometimes it's actually difficult to know what the mind has become attached to, if it's favorable or unfavorable, because the mind is very, very tricky and it's very, very strong. So we have Shastra, we have Sadhu, we have Guru, and we shouldn't just simply prescribe for ourselves, this is good for me or this is not good for me. We need our spiritual master and senior Vaishnavas to act as an absolute reference point for us. Otherwise, if we follow the whim of the mind, we will get ourselves into unlimited trouble. Unlimited trouble. And we will keep on traveling all throughout different species of life, throughout the universe. Now, what happens if we have a material desire or the mind is right there and it really wants something and we try to push it away, but it still wants it and we try to push it away and still wants it? So that process of dealing with those type of desires is accepting that perhaps I cannot go straight to Krishna because of my fallen condition. But under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnavas and Shastra, let me go this way to Krishna. We cannot maybe go like this, but we can go this way to Krishna. And that is further, much better than going using the material desire to go this way that will pull us away from Krishna. So this way, that's something like karma yoga, using our what we want in the service of Krishna. So that is quite beneficial as well, but that always must be done under guidance. So the question is everything the trick of the mind? Everything other than the desire to love Krishna is just the interactions, or everything not based on the desire to please Krishna. Krishna means Krishna, the devotees, the Guru, Prabhupada, and Mahaprabhu. But everything not based on that desire, having that desire as the center, at least has some influence of the material energy in it. At least some. So then the question turns to, so I say yes, and it will keep us in the material world. Now, sometimes when there's questions like this, someone has something very specific in mind, and you really have to talk to the person to understand what they specifically have in mind, and therefore you can give them a prescriptive answer for an individual. But in general, yes, this is the interaction of the three modes of material nature. This is the business of the mind, accepting and rejecting in the material world. So then the question turns to, so what to do when you are sure in intellectual or logical perspective, but yet your heart or intuition does not follow you to Krishna? So I'm not exactly sure. Does it mean it's too early to be in spiritual life? Of course, we'll never say it's too early to be in spiritual life. So I think the question is, what, you know this is the right thing, but you just don't have the depth of purity or depth of desire to follow what you know is right. And that happens so much of the time. The mind is attached to something that is not Krishna. So first of all, you should know that this is not a disease or a problem located only in you alone. This is the nature of every conditioned soul, to be attracted to things other than Krishna. And it is very difficult, undoubtedly difficult, to control the mind. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness means to surrender to the process, and that helps the control of the mind. It is the process of purification. It is the process of getting a taste that's sweeter, sweeter than what the mind can give us. If we're attracted to the beauty of this world, despite the fact that we know it's temporary and leading us the wrong way, we have to look at the beauty of the deity. If we're attracted to the the sweet fragrances of perfumes meant for our body. We have to smell the sweet fragrance of the garland of that's been offered to the deities and the incense. This is Krishna consciousness. If we're attracted to so many mundane books and philosophical ideas, we have to deeply study and taste sweetness in Krishna consciousness. If we like, and everything in Kali Yuga should be accompanied by the chanting of Krishna's names. We read that, what Jiva Goswami said, because this is Mahaprabhu's mercy, that you don't even require to be fully surrendered. Surrender means, or one of some of the main points of surrender is you accept everything favorable and you reject everything unfavorable. That means the mind is completely going straight. But who is that powerful? And who is that sincere even? Completely sincere. What's the song of Bhaktivinod Thakur, or the, what is it, that accept everything that's favorable, reject everything? Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya va. Who is that sincere that without hesitation, whatever is good for my Krishna consciousness, I will do, and whatever is unfavorable, I will push away? So that is two of the main angas of Saranagati, of surrender. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's what Krishna demanded, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't demand surrender first. First, just chant Krishna's names. Chant Krishna's names again and again, constantly if you can. And taste the sweetness of the spiritual world that Harinam Sankirtan gives, it offers. It's easier to access even than japa. Just chant Hare Krishna in ecstasy. Anande bolo Hare Bhaja Vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Pare Majayama. Just chant Krishna's names in the association of devotees in great happiness, and let the mind taste that sweetness. Let the mind uncover some of the dust in that. And then very meekly, humbly understand one's fallen condition and then do whatever service we can. If we become, one thing that we really have to realize is this question, does it mean it's too early to be in spiritual life if I'm not a pure devotee? That one shouldn't be asked. There's like one devotee once applied for Indian citizenship many years ago. And he was rejected because he was a foreigner. That was the cause of his being rejected in his application. So similarly, specifically because one is a foreigner, one has to apply for citizenship. Because one isn't pure, that's the reason to take the spiritual life, because the results of not taking the spiritual life are what? It's a complete disaster. It's just death. And it doesn't end with that either. If it was only death, it would be one thing. But it's death and then rebirth and then old age and disease. One time in Christchurch, I asked the question, I was giving class, and I said, I can't remember what the frame of reference was, but I asked, what is the worst thing you can imagine happening to you? It was one of those spontaneous questions. And one devotee raised his hand and said, to be a teenager again. You know, when the body and mind is just boiling with sensual desires, and you don't even know what's going on. And you have to go through all the frustrations, the hope. On one hand, you're not experienced enough in life to know that it's not going to bring you the happiness that you want. But you have all these desires and dreams and the frustrations and the miseries of having to go through the whole thing again and again and again. And then you get older, and then the body breaks down, and then old age and all the envy and cynicism, and then death, and then birth again, and teenager again, or whatever. So we should take to spiritual life tadapadruvamartadam. As soon as we come to any kind of consciousness of the nature of life, we should chant Krishna's names in the association of devotees and very humbly pray for mercy.
This perhaps is the last question.
Hare Krishna. I would suggest that we are ending this wonderful session here.
One more.
No, it's 9 o'clock, Buridham Prabhu. And okay.
Do one of those again. That was good.
You can. You have one chance usually to do that, and then you.
The mind enters.
You, then the mind enters. I was just take it in an ordinary way.
It's never an ordinary way.
During Japa retreat, I understood that I have all the possible material desires and weaknesses of the heart, and they are stronger than my attraction to the holy names. I was also not able to chant 64 rounds. Is there any hope for me? My dear devotees, there is the greatest hope. Don't become deceived by the mind which has given you or you have seen your material desires and your weaknesses stronger. You see anything stronger when there is a good contrast. So now there was a very spiritual event and there was your mind. And in this contrast, you could read your mind much better than in ordinary ways. Or as Buridham Prabhu said, when there is a dark room, it can have so many rubbish really, but the moment the light comes, oops, you all of a sudden see it. Previously you have not seen it. So don't worry, this is totally natural. It's obvious that this had to happen to you. We just didn't announce it. But a contrast has been made to your previous life. You usually are not in such a japa experience. And now you saw. It's don't become discouraged at all. It was there and it may still go on for some time. But what is more important than what you have seen is what Krishna has seen. You know, when you have a little naughty child on this side and a grown-up mature statesman who thinks for the benefit of all, or if you have your own little self here and the Lord here, who is more important? Whose judgment, whose perspective, whose vision is more important? Of course, the vision of the statesman is more important than the naughty child's vision. Of course, Krishna's vision is more important. So Krishna has seen you and he has done something very nice. See, the gopis, according to Jiva Goswami, have once asked Krishna, "Hey Krishna, you have said Nahang Tishtami Vaikunthe. I'm not in Vaikuntha nor the hearts of the mystic yogis. I'm there where my devotees chant. We have chanted your names, but you were not there. You have broken your promise in the Shastra. You are a liar." Krishna said, "Gopis, you do not understood. You have not understood what I have done. I was there when you were calling for me. But I was there in a form invisible to you. And I looked how much your desire have increased for me, and now I'm with you again." So don't become deceived by another trick of the mind. During this japa retreat, all, it's not true that all what was going on for you was to see your material desires buzz. No! What was really going on in the transcendental realm was that Lord Krishna saw how you made a decision to come to Vashana. Most probably, he himself gave you that decision in your heart. You have come here and you have absorbed yourself in the retreat, and now Lord Krishna is, and Srimati Radharani, actually Radha and Krishna are very, very impressed by you. Therefore, congratulations for your decision, and don't become so me-centered. Yes, you saw some dirt. It was all the time there, by the way. It was nothing new under the sky. You have noticed you are not so great as you thought you are. Are these really earth-shaking news? It was obvious. Spiritual life is not so much about you as it is about Krishna. But you came here, a conditioned soul, and you tried so hard, and you chanted really it out, you went through this experience, and therefore you are praiseworthy amongst the greatest of saints, and a deep, deep sankskara has been put into your heart. Thank you. This is what Jiva Goswami, he makes this point in his comment. Krishna is there and he has observed us. Having said this much, we will turn the microphone over to Braj Bihari Prabhu or Prashanta, who will give us an orientation. What is next? I would suggest let us not rush. Let us have a little pause after the breakfast for resting a little. Thank you for your wonderful questions. Wonderful, Buri Jamprabhu, isn't it? The questions, yes. You are the best to ask such questions. You are not at all unqualified or so. You are very, very advanced. So don't worry. Just don't become deceived by the little dirt which you have not seen before.
You know that story that Prabhupada told about in Gandhi's life, where he and his wife had a fight, and he said, get out, go away from here.
Who's he?
Gandhi. Not Prabhupada. Gandhi had a fight with his wife. Go out, come back. And after some time, a very soft knock on the door that was very persistent. And he opened the door and he saw his wife standing there like this. Why have you come back? I told you to go away. And he said, and she said, replied with the head down and very humbly, I had nowhere else to go. So we take that to the holy name. Although I'm so unqualified, I have no other place to go. Now, what did Gandhi do? Do you think he slammed the door in her face and said, I already told you to go away, you are unqualified, go away? No, of course, he opened the door and invited her in. So if we go to the holy names without disqualification and take shelter of the holy names because we have no place to go, then the holy names will invite us in.
Wonderful.
It's true, yes?
It's very true.